call the meeting to order. Please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag and the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Ms. Chalk?
Yeah, I'm present.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Mr. Joseph?
Here.
Ms. Keeper?
Present.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Kaplink-Alaire?
Here.
15 members present.
Petitions, communications, and notices?
Communications are on the desks.
There are no special orders of the day, so we'll proceed to privilege of the floor for the public. Do we have anyone who would like to speak? Seeing none, we'll proceed to privilege of the floor for county legislators. I'll actually start, just if you can hold your comment for a minute, Jim, with the Distinguished Youth Award. If we could have the GIAC Theater program come up. The staff and the students are able to come up here. Very appropriate on this day, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, that we're going to be honoring as for the Distinguished Youth Award for January, the theater project of the GIAC Teen Program. You can keep coming up. You can come across if you want. Patrice Lockhart-Anthony nominated the theater project of the GIAC Teen Program for a variety of reasons, but particularly because they were doing monologues on individuals in the community, particularly those who have inspired them. And they're going to be performing these monologues publicly around the community. But these, in Patrice's nomination, her estimation is that these are selfless contributions, and they're service worthy of note, which are part of our guidelines for Distinguished Youth Awards. Some of the questions that she asked in her nomination memo was, how often do we hear teens expressing gratitude for what adults have contributed to their lives? And how often, when they do acknowledge, do they do so publicly? So for these kinds of efforts, uplift the community, letting adults know that their efforts have not been in vain, and letting other youth know that there are adults out there who are ready and willing and able to participate in the lives of youth and who commit to their future success. Yes. This demonstrates a reciprocal relationship that's healthy, appropriate, seriously feels good, and at the same time, promoting and advocating positive communication between community members. This particular, these monologues will be given throughout the community. I guess maybe someone else will speak to when that'll happen. And I want to read the Distinguished Youth Award plaque to the theater project of the GIAC Teen Program in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community. This is sponsored by Bangs Ambulance, the Legislature, Cayuga Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and A&B Awards. Congratulations.
All right. Well, I mean, y'all gave me the thing, so I guess I'll talk first. Thanks. I'm Jonathan Reed, and I'm just one of eight here. So, I mean, I'm not trying to speak for everybody, but yeah, that the...
If you want to have him introduce himself.
Yeah, let's do that.
Can y'all hear, all hear me, right?
Yeah.
All
right.
You're just speaking to my...
Oh. Hello? Oh, yeah. I'm Patrick Booker.
I'm Defana Harris.
Ronnie McBean.
Jamel Booker.
Naomi Bishop.
Danilo Marte.
And here are the lovely staff people over here. We got Miss Lori Brewington. This is Miss Patrice Lockard Anthony. She's the one who nominated us. Thank you. And this is Miss Cynthia Henderson. Professor, I am so sorry. Matter of fact, here you
Hi. My name is Cynthia Henderson. I'm a professor of acting over in the Department of Theater Arts at Ithaca College, and these kids were the complete inspiration behind, and it's a complete play, actually. It's not just a series of monologues. It's a play based on their experiences in the high school, things that they're grateful for, challenges that they have been encountering as high school students here in Ithaca. And the performances will happen. The first performance will be on the 19th at the MLK breakfast at GIAC in the morning between 9 and 11. And on the 20th at GIAC, the full performance will happen at about 3 o'clock. And also, we will be doing a performance at Ithaca College on Monday, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And they'll be doing a full performance there as well, starting at 2:30. And the kitchen theater will be adding them to the counterculture series on February 12th. So they'll be performing in a number of places. We're even talking to Cornell about them coming out there to perform, but those are the set dates so far. And that's it. Thank you.
My name's Amanda. I'm assistant directing with Cynthia.
And I'm Rashida Boyd, GIAC liaison producer for this program. And we are missing one other child who couldn't make it, and that's Talima Brooks. That's also involved.
And if you all will indulge me for a minute, my name is Lori Brewington, and I took over the team program in September. We are really taking a hard look at the program and trying to redirect some things. We are really trying to get involved in the Ithaca High School. We have two programs that are actually taking place there, and we also have our theater group. We're hoping that, in addition to this, we expand and do a whole lot more plays and continue it going. I just will say that our space that we have at GIAC is much too small to accommodate what we really have. So I know there's an issue out there in terms of GIAC and what to do for it and how we can help it. And I just like you all to know that we would like to expand the team program. However, our space will not accommodate that. So that is another reason why we've ventured out into the school, because, one, that's where the teens are, and that's where we're making the most difference, because we don't have a place to house them. So I say, if we want to get the teens off the street, let's get the teens off the street.
Thank you. In addition to your plaque, we have a box of some goodies. It has Purée ice cream coupons, et cetera, so you can share and share alike. Thank you again.
Sorry to prolong this for you guys, but it's such a good thing that, you know, I'm going to take up some more of your time. I'm Patrice Lockard Anthony, and I am not actually any longer staff at GIAC. I am now staff at 4-H. And I had an opportunity to nominate one person from one of our 4-H programs for this award, and I chose to go outside of 4-H for that. And the reason is that here we have a group, a solid group of kids who could very easily go in another direction. They've been hard hit by society, by economics, by issues in the district, and instead of using that as an excuse to act up, they chose to act. That is rare. And I bow to them. I applaud them. Very pleased at what they have done with this. And, of course, they couldn't have done it without Professor Henderson. So thank you to all of you. And thank you for making me look good.
Mr. Chair, I clearly don't want to prolong the meeting any, but can we get just a little sample? Just a little bit. Mr. McBean, perhaps. Jonathan, director, tell us.
No, Banker's going to say something right quick.
If it's going to take too long, then no, it's all right.
All right. I told you this before. I want to take this time to thank Cynthia Henderson for putting up with us. And it is sometimes like we got Nami out of hand and she supposedly quit, but she loved us too much to do that. I mean, so I want to take this time to thank Cynthia Henderson for Amanda too. I mean, college student. Pretty. And I just want to say, like, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even be in this predicament right now. None of us would be in this predicament right now. I mean, I speak for everybody, all right? We love you. We love you. GX staff, we love you.
Yeah, I just want to say same thing he said, you know what I mean? Thank you a lot, because I've been going through a lot of things, and I didn't think nothing was going to help me. And so this showed that a lot of people that we could work together. We could do things. It's a good way for us to prove that we can do things and not get in trouble, that we got other talents than people thinking that we selling drugs and this, that, and the third. So that's what I like about this. And I definitely like that I'm chilling with my family on a daily basis now and everything. And I just want to say thank you. And I hope that we could move further with this, make it bigger, and keep going. And it don't just stop here. Because I want everybody else to feel what I done felt in these past couple of weeks with this play. So I just want to say thank you to everybody.
Okay, this is from the play. It's called Minority Report. I wrote it.
Of course.
9/11 life, we the devastating forces. They say the motherland should have had an abortion. In these ugly episodes, we try to stay focused, cause brother's only motives is to move forward. Put this in your pipe and smoke it. Love and hate are the forces that chauffeurs our emotions. See, history shows us that there is no glory, so we stick to the script, but we write the story. Equality is repulsive, but watch our force of. Man, I ain't seen it lately. Somebody must have told her. Police pistol brain, it's never in the holster. Endless ammunition, so I shoot till it's over. I feel like Da Vinci, how I paint these portraits. Can't see or hear the notes, feeling like Beethoven. It's not about who blood and a lokin. We all hoping some doors get open. No jokes. In upgrading, the common fact is paper. It's not rocket science, it's a simple equation. The solution is easy. In comes the solvent. Income dissolves, in comes the problems. Racism sponsor, in comes the monster. Time to encounter this beast we trying to conquer. Life ain't a book, ain't no hooked on phonics. Can't read between the lines, the brothers hooked on chronic. No education in our heads, we inferior, this is serious. No materials for college, we in college material. 20-year-old, second grade reading level. I guess we gotta settle since we can't do better. Playing against ourselves, what the hell are we to do? It's impossible to win, plus impossible to lose. Stuck in these shoes, it's impossible to move. This road, that road, impossible to choose. So we cruise through the route that's faster, passing oblivious scriptures in our ghetto gospel. See, we act like bastards, but try to turn the chapters. They still harass us, so our chances pass us. Plasma, clear vision, this is just a fraction of the problems the actors don't capture. Countdown to equality, read the caption. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, action.
Okay, well, then they told me that I got to go up here and do my monologue. So, like, hey, okay. This is me talking to my ninth grade earth science teacher. I'm a senior in high school, and I still go back to that class almost, no, every day. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I got official permission from my mother that she could be my mother, whatever. So anyway, this is me talking to her. I hope she's not watching this, because I was trying to keep this a secret. But, oh well. Hey, Miss B, just wanted to talk to you for a second concerning the protest. Oh, no. It's all good stuff, actually. Nothing bad. I'm thanking you. I'm thanking you for being there for me. Honestly, let's sit down and think about this for a second. It began in the ninth grade, 04, with you being the teacher who refused to let me stop my own brilliance and ability. And it's funny. I mean, contrary to what history would dictate, I really didn't hate staying after school to finish my labs. But it wasn't until after I left your class that I recognized your true capacity as a person. And to this day, I'm still not sure what brought me back to that classroom when I had no reason to be there at all. But either way, I still got to see that you're a compassionate individual, one of the most empathic people I've ever met. You let me come to you at my lowest, when I had nowhere else to go, and you were there with a kind, supportive word and a smile, unconditionally, even when your days were not great or outright terrible. You still managed to help lift me out of my pit of eternal despair, as we called it. Anyway, after a while, I mean, I got to see how much you cared about your students. Then I became your sounding board. When parents blamed you for their child's not wanting to do their work, when the students ground your last nerves, when your diamond in the rough students slipped through the cracks, were pulled through the cracks, when your best efforts to save them from a flawed system came to naught by a signature from a principal or an AP. I mean, I could tell you were angry, frustrated, straight up exhausted, and yet you still worked away, keeping that kindness and smile for anyone who needed it. You listened to us when left and right we got deaf ears. And matter of fact, you actually taught most of us. This is my way of thanking you for your kindness, your caring, and your ear. And just for the record, always remember that no matter what happens, we always got your back.
Thank you, Len.
Thank you all again for your contribution, and thank legislators for bearing with the extra showing of their talents. We have a report from municipal officials. I believe Karen Billings is here from Town of Ithaca, reporting on behalf of Herb Engman. And then I see Maria Coles in the back as well. We'll have Karen first, and then you can just speak at that mic there.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I think it's on. Okay. I'm Karen Billings. I'm with the Town of Ithaca. I'm the new town clerk. At the last meeting, it was decided, in fact, it was our first reorganization meeting for the Town of Ithaca, and we have a new town supervisor and a couple of new board members. And it was decided that we would try to attend the meetings of the county legislature on a monthly basis. Unfortunately, for this particular meeting, none of the board members was able to come, so I'm filling in for the rest of the board members tonight. And I'm here to promote the Town of Ithaca. That was a tough act to follow. But I have a Town of Ithaca brochure, which I'd like to pass out among all of you and leave some additional copies behind. And we have many, many, many more copies. In fact, we have a case in Town Hall. And also, what I wanted, I think one of the biggest pieces of news that I wanted to share with all of you tonight is that the Town of Ithaca has 700 units of proposed housing in the town, which is pretty substantial. We're talking about Hollowchuck and Caramore, and then there's 80 beds that are planned for an assisted living unit off of Route 13 near Treeman Park, Robert Treeman Park. And then in the northeast quadrant of the town, There's Briarwood, too, which will be about 45 units. So because of the substantial number of housing units that are planned, it certainly does affect the infrastructure, and it affects the entire county. And what we wanted to make everybody aware of is that this is going on, that we do want to partner with the county and the other municipalities as much as possible. We certainly need help with all of this. We're not a standalone. So I think this is a message that we wanted to get out to everybody, that we are a partner and we want to do whatever we need to do. We want to bring in as much of the type of housing that can cut across all economic levels as well. I think the standard has always been that everybody said the town is too expensive to live in, and we're trying to do whatever we can to make the housing fall into all economic levels. So I think that's pretty much the message I wanted to carry. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Thanks so much. I'll leave these right back here.
You can pass them right to Greg or anybody you can reach. And actually, before we go to Maria, I skipped over other privilege of the floor from legislators. Jim, Dennis?
I just wanted to applaud the Wegman Corporation for the discontinuance of cigarettes and tobacco products. I think that's I don't know if it's going to affect their bottom line too much because they're a giant corporation, but I think it sends a strong message to people, and I think it's, given the fact that they do so much for the community, I think they're doing a little bit more for the community by doing that.
Here, here.
Thank you. Others? Martha?
I have two things. Jackie Kipla asked me to announce that there will be a tourism grants workshop. That's for anybody interested in applying for any of the grants. January 22nd, coming up at 2:30 p.m. at the Chamber of Commerce. And call 274-5551 for information on that if you're interested. And I just wanted to let people know that 2008 is the 25th anniversary of the Community Dispute Resolution Center's founding. They've been, the slogan goes, 25 years and still talking. They operate in three counties, there will be celebrations in Schuyler County, Chemung, and Tompkins County. A very interesting set of events. The first is a community in Schuyler County community conversation about land use, facing the challenges of growing together on February 27th. In Chemung County, a presentation on youth-centered conflict education. And in Tompkins, the Tompkins event will be October 20th about mediation with elders. So it's a good program of events coming up, celebrating CDRC. Thanks.
Thank you, Martha. Other legislators? Frank Proto?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yesterday, we had several of us had an opportunity to attend a couple of meetings. First, to just give you a quick report on the TCAT ribbon cutting that took place with Congressman Hinchey. Carol and I were able to attend that, and it was a decent ceremony in spite of the rain, or perhaps snow. And Congressman Hinchey was very generous in his accolades in that we hit him up for some more money for TCAT. So we hope that it comes. But that was very well attended. The second, several of us had a chance to meet with Senator Schumer a little later in the day. And it was also a very well-attended meeting on economic development. And Mike had to duck out early, so being one of the county legislators that was still there, I had a chance to give a brief report on behalf of the county. And we were asked when Senator Schumer, I mean, we've dealt with him before, and I've had an opportunity to work with he and his staff regarding some agricultural items. When he said, "Hello, Frank, how are you doing?" And by the way, don't go on and on about what government needs, because government needs everything. He said, "Just pick one issue." I have to tell you, the issue that I settled on, it could have been anything, health care, roads, or whatever, I settled on access to the Universal Fund for Internet and Broadband Access, because so much of the county, I tried to pick a non-political issue, and he was very agreeable. Amanda Spellacy was also writing like mad. It was a very good meeting, and he's agreed to come back. So, well attended. And I think, and Mike Stamm, who I saw duck in, Mike did not get the Distinguished Youth Award tonight, but he was at the meeting yesterday.
And the food was good.
And the food was good. Right. Which is why I was there.
Thanks for representing us, Frank. Leslin, then Pam?
Very quickly, on the 17th, the Department of Justice has been involved with the school district and the community in talking through some of the issues that have been happening at the district and community-wise, some of the issues around equality and justice. And so on Thursday at 7 p.m., the Department of Justice will be here hosting a forum for the community, for people to speak out on any concerns they might have on the issues that have been occurring, as well as begin to think about ideas for change. So it's happening on Thursday, 7 p.m. at the Clarion, and the Chamber of Commerce has organized or arranged to have transportation from varying points in the county and stopping several places to pick people up along the way if individuals need rides to get to and from the Clarion Hotel.
Thank you. Pam?
Yes, as promised, at our last meeting, I mentioned that on the 24th, there's going to be DEC is going to be in town. They're having a meeting about the pollution on South Hill, the solvent TCE, which they found under many homes up there. And it will be at 6:30 at the Town of Ithaca office on the 24th of this month.
Greg.
Mike, I'm sorry.
Greg first, and then I'll come back to you.
I beg your pardon. I just wanted to mention something that I and several other county staff were involved in last year. I'm often reminded in my professional life of the profound impact that public access automatic external defibrillators can have. And, of course, I can't speak of any specific incidents, but I was recently reminded of what the existence of a public access external defibrillation program means and how important I think it is. The county last year worked a little bit. The county administrator helped me pull together a group that worked on that project, but I'm going to just mention to my colleagues that that's something that you will probably hear me talk about in the future, as I hope to begin discussions about the county getting on board and becoming one of the many entities and groups that have public access external defibrillators available, because I think that that truly is, as Frank mentioned, a non-political issue and a matter of life and death. So it's something I hope we keep in the backs of our minds as being something that would be important to work towards.
Thank you, Greg. And a quick point from Frank?
Yeah, I'm reminded by Pam McAsey. Senator Schumer also mentioned yesterday the question about the garbage trucks and the transport across the county and on roads came up. And he indicated that the state is poised. The Senate has already passed this bill, and the Assembly is hopefully going to pass it, keeping those trucks that they can control coming out of New York, coming out of the city, on the thruway and off our side roads. So, Pam, all the work you did is paying off. And he took a lot of applause for that one yesterday. And Bob Nicholas was there, too, talking about the airport and the need for more funding for that. But sorry, Tim.
Nathan, then Jim again.
On that truck issue, Frank, that Senate bill, it's a difficult bill at the same time, because what it does is, in order to create those routes, it has to designate municipal solid waste as hazardous waste. And so there's major complications with that, and I think that's what the legislature is trying to deal with right now. And also Schumer has a federal bill, a bill in the Senate that actually creates environmentally sensitive designations. And the Senate and the federal government have a lot more power because the truck hauling issue actually specifically deals with interstate commerce law, right? And so he does have the power to do that without designating municipal solid waste as hazardous waste. But that's the complications right now with the Senate bill. But the great thing about that Senate bill and the Assembly talking about it is that it pushes it to the forefront in terms of for the governor. It makes him aware of that and also makes the Assembly and Senate overall aware and working on the issue with Schumer and with the federal government. But just wanted to give that update.
And Jim Dennis.
Frank, it came to my attention that Senator Schumer's staff had given him heads up on NYSEG, and he was very afraid that they were very afraid that you might talk about NYSEG, but thank goodness you didn't.
Well, Bob Pass was there yesterday, and in deference to that, I thought it would be appropriate to just pass on that tonight.
Any other comments from legislators? We do actually have a special presentation tonight from the Assessment Department. Oh, I'm sorry.
Maria.
I'm just jumping around too much. Maria, thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I want to thank Tim for his long service to this body as chair. And I also want to congratulate Mike and Leslin for their posts on this body. I guess I haven't seen you since the new year, so I will say Happy New Year to all of you. I'm still here, however, so it's not new in that sense. I will report on a couple of things. The city has been remarkably busy over the last couple of months. We have a new stormwater runoff legislation. This is an unfunded mandate, but a state unfunded mandate, but one that is extremely important. It deals with, of course, erosion, pollution, and for our area, it's an issue that addresses the considerable sedimentation in all of our waterways. We enacted this local law last month. And we are now working on how, well, it's going to be a period of trial and error since it is all new, so we will have to see how it will shape up. But it will provide considerable regulation for construction in the size lots and also the slope of the lots on which building is going on. The city has been fast working, well, not so fast perhaps, because it was happening when Pam was still on Common Council, but the city has been working on backyard parking, off-street backyard parking. There are areas of the city, notably on South Hill and on East Hill, where green spaces have been fast disappearing and they've become parking lots, and that is a huge consideration for the city. It stands right in the middle of the tension between residential areas and rental areas within the city. And I know that on South Hill there is a struggle to maintain South Hill, the wonderful residential neighborhood that it is. And what happens in backyards is extremely important. So there will be the legislation has been rewritten. It will be going through committee, and there will be various public meetings on that issue. You probably have heard about the fact that the city and Cornell have been engaged in a new design for the College Town area. And you've probably heard that there is a one-year moratorium on construction in College Town. And that was an absolutely necessary measure so that the flood of requests for construction would not be filled as the new design was being developed by consultants addressing issues such as where will we put the parking for the various buildings that are now there and will be there in the future. And again, the tension between historical areas, residential areas, and commercial areas. But you will be glad to know, I believe, that we've been very, very diligent with keeping to our schedule so that the moratorium will not exceed the 1 year. The other thing that the city has been involved in is this is another mandated undertaking. The state has requested, I believe, every municipality to have a workplace violence prevention program. So the city has assembled a committee which has been working on the issue of potential workplace violence, both worker to worker, members of the community toward employees, et cetera, et cetera. You can probably imagine all the various ways in which that could happen. We have almost completed a policy. We've hired a consultant which has looked into the various city buildings to see what can be done to try to mitigate some of the potential for violence that exists in various city buildings. You probably also know that both the city and the town are in the, I don't know if it's the beginning stages, but it feels like the beginning stages of a new comprehensive plan. And this is another collaborative effort. The city and the town have already met to try to understand what each other's needs are as we develop these new comprehensive plans. And indeed, it's a new way of relating to one another. That's all I have tonight for my report. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer as best as I can.
Frank?
Maria, can you say anything about the governor's visit today with regard to the lead grant?
Yes. Well, it is a great thing. As you probably know, the city applied once before for the Restore New York grant, both for the GIAC building and for this particular site. This time around, the city has in mind some other ways of obtaining money for the GIAC building, and the Gun Hill site was the only site that applied for the money, and it will make a huge difference. It will clean up a site which where the original cleanup was not carried out very well. The areas that had once been cleaned up became contaminated again, and the fire department has been extremely worried about any fire possibly happening on that site. It would be an absolute horror.
Did he mention any particular timetable?
I don't know of one.
Did you get the check?
No, we did not get the check, but we got a very firm promise.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Maria.
Thank you.
You've all gotten, with your agenda, some advanced materials from the assessment department, some background information, and then tonight you've gotten a yellow kind of one-pager, and I believe we'll have a brief presentation.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Valeria Kagan. I'm the director of the Tompkins County Assessment, and here to report on a revaluation and also just a little forward about the tax bills. You probably, all of you are aware that this year we had to reprint the town and county tax bills that were supposed to be delivered by end of the year. We had a glitch because, unbeknown to us, a resolution was passed by this legislative body regarding the solid waste fee increase, and the bills were already printed at the time when the legislation was passed. So, in short, Obviously, first we all became very angry and uttered a couple of words that I'm not going to repeat here. However, next thing was that we kicked into a repair mode, and I have to say that we received a tremendous help from everyone. And I want to praise the town clerks because they were really the heroes in this whole effort to repair the damage. They stayed in over the weekends, during the holidays and everything, so that the tax bills were delivered except for two tons. They were delivered late. Has no impact on the law. It doesn't say anything that when they have to be delivered, but in any event, the town clerks were able to start their tax collecting procedure because we supplied them with a warrant, the tax rolls, and electronic copy of the rolls. So it's all went well. So hopefully it's never going to happen again. We put procedures in place. The second thing that I'm reporting today is the revaluation. Since 2006, sorry about that, I'm going back too far. 2006, we are on a triennial assessment cycle, which means that in a third year, being 2008, we have to value properties at 100% fair market value. The work is done, and we froze the files yesterday, and we are running reports currently, applying the exemptions and figuring out the disclosure notice, what is going to be. At this point, I regret that I'm not able to provide you because it takes a couple of days to run through the system, and we want to make sure that anything that is released is accurate. So to be on the safe side, I can categorically say that within a week you're going to be receiving the statistics. As far as I can say on overall, it appears to be a regular, revaluation. One-third of the properties will be paying about the same amount of taxes as last year based on, not counting any increase in the budgets for the year. One-third of the properties will pay less, and one-third will be paying more. The overall increase seems to be, for county taxation purposes, somewhere between 15 to 20%. So obviously, we're going to be getting a lot of response from the public based on that increase. Not necessarily that they will disagree with the assessment, but it's going to generate a lot of questions. So disclosure notices will be going out end of starting January 25th, and it's going to be staggered. We're going to be releasing ton by ton by ton, so that every ton will have equal amount of time to request informal hearings. I just want to mention that we were helped in our, obviously the valuation process is all done by the assessment department. However, this year something is different. We decided to step up our public relation effort, and we had a tremendous amount of help. We received help from administration, specifically from Marsha Lynch and the Public Information Advisory Board and the media. I have to comment on that Ithaca Journal, TC3, actually produced a video, a five-minute video. The students did an amazing job. In addition to that, newspapers, local papers, radio stations, everyone is ready to kick into the saturation mode, as they call it in public relations. So we're going to be stepping up day by day. You're going to hear more and more. I know that the Ithaca Journal is going to be starting to print articles January 25th and from that on. So just be aware, any question, anyone has any concern, we are more than happy to answer your questions. Give us a call, email us, whatever we can do to make the process. And I hope we can count on you also for support.
right?
Yes.
So, that's in a nutshell. Of course, you received the information booklet. I wanted to just say that we developed, this is a 6-page booklet. We never did this before, but it's important that the property owners, taxpayers, the public in general gets good information. And based on that, and we have a shortened version of it, which will be printed on the back of the disclosure notice. These booklets will be available at libraries, town halls, and just about every location, post office, whatever, that we can get the information out. Any questions that I can?
Jason?
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. At the Budget Committee yesterday, we did talk about how, for this year in particular, it's going to be very important for all of us legislators to not talk about the tax rate and instead talk about the tax levy.
Yes.
And focus on the tax levy.
Thank you.
Because last year, or in the past couple of years, because of triennial assessments, it's been easy to talk about tax rates because sometimes it's easier to convey that to our constituents. But this year, we really need to focus on the levy so that we don't mislead the public.
Any other comments or questions?
Thank you very much. That will help us preserve the integrity of our program.
We keep,
thank
keep
you.
Trying to set this model for other taxing jurisdictions. Martha.
Larry, a couple of things. You said the overall increase in assessments appears to be 15% to 20%. Compared to what? In a year, in 3 years?
Martha, I can't hear the question. Could you please?
Sorry. You said the overall increase in assessments is 15% to 20%. Is that in a year or since the beginning of the cycle?
Well, we adjusted everything, but you have to remember when we started at the beginning of the cycle, 2006, we were at 90% of market value. Last year, 2007, we were at 85% of the market value. So now, going up to the 100%, it seems like it's an extensive increase. However, it's not that, it's not going to, I mean, not it shouldn't change drastically for the average property owner. If someone got more percentage increase than the rest of the county, then those people will experience higher tax bills.
It's over the period.
Your question, I'm sorry.
It's over the three-year period. Okay.
Okay.
The 20%.
Right.
So in a sense, So the valuation, if they've been assessed at 100% through the three-year period, you'd really be looking at not a very large increase in the maybe flat to 5% change in the real increase in the values.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. I've had this question asked of me. Will comparables be mailed with the bills? Do you know?
No.
With the new assessments? Okay.
No. We really can't afford to have that. In these days, the computer is available everywhere. On the internet, we have programs out there. Several reports property owners can run. We have in our office programs available. The town hall, they have all the data available. Libraries. So in this, I don't think that is really the just of the. I don't want to repeat this, but the burden is on the property owner to provide us information during the informal hearings if they disagree with their assessment. We will be giving all the help that we can give. But the comparables it's a sensitive question because the comparables is basically a cosmetic cover, so to speak. And meaning that if we send out comparables, computer generated comparables, we can control the composition of that comparable sheet. So I think it's much better when everyone who disagrees with their assessment looks at on their own and select the comparables that they think is comparable, not what we think is comparable. And we're going to be looking at and reviewing that information.
So if somebody has a question, can they call up? You made a presentation at the Chamber of Commerce meeting I went to last month. And I thought you said that somebody could call the office and over the phone get the two or three comparables that the office had used in order to decide, you know, if I want to know my house, you'd be able to give me the two or three
right.
over the telephone without somebody having to come into
we
the
We have
office.
That information, and we'll be more than happy to give some guidance and say, well, we use this house, take a look at this, take a look at that. But we can't really, you know, I mean, comparable, everything, all the sales is comparable. And that's how we look at it at this point.
But in other words, what's new is that I can call up on the telephone and you can give me that information over the phone, which in previous years you'd have to come into the office. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
That will be available this time. It's different. Then you call in. We'll be more than happy to tell you what we used, and then you can tell us what you think we should be using.
Okay. I think that will be a big convenience to people, and I'd like to be able to share that when I talk to folks.
Yes.
So
we have assistance for program assistance, and they will be helping with that.
Okay, and did I understand from what you said in December, are you going to be scheduling meetings, sort of public information meetings, in different areas of the county? And if my town board wants to get a presentation from one of the staff, could we?
We are doing it continuously, presentations to different interest groups or organizations. In addition to that, we'll have an open house in every town this year. And we go out to the town, and people can come there on that specific day. And it will be publicized in the Ithaca Journal. And so people can come and at their convenience in their own community, and they can get guidance. We can help them, so to speak, prepare for the disclosure hearing.
Have you set those dates yet? Have you set the dates for those open houses
yet? Right now we are working on coordinating between the towns, so we'll have that ready again in a week once we know which one is going to be released first. And I mean, we have a general idea.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
Martha. Carol?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you. I wanted to note in some of these documents here that there are 34,500 parcels in Tompkins County, so the volume of work that you've done is really admirable, and thank you for that. And then I just wanted to clarify the dates by which what people received at the beginning of the year were their tax bills for the upcoming year. What is coming out in the mail, as I understand it, is the assessment disclosure notice and your new assessment, and those are being sent out on a rolling basis.
Yes.
So that if people talk to a friend from another town or part of the city that have received their notice, it doesn't mean that you've missed out on receiving yours. Yes? Thank you.
Yeah. I think that the public is going to be saturated with the information by the time the Ithaca Journal releases everything and we have all the information out there. I can't imagine that someone would say, gee, I didn't know anything about it. So, like I said, this is a very extensive effort, and we never did this much, so to speak. But it is important that we have the support of the public officials and the understanding of the public officials what is the whole process is all about.
Any other questions? Kathy?
Are we done? I'm ready to go back to annual assessment. How about you?
No. Nope. Do I take a vote tonight?
You don't have to answer that. It's a rhetorical question for you, Valeria.
Oh, bringing that up. Actually,
you knew I would.
Actually, what Martha's question was that about, you know, was it like in 1 year suddenly that jumped to 15-20%? Well, if we are on annual reassessment, then it's gradual. You don't experience a large percentage. In addition to that,
Valeria, we're not actually taking that up tonight. I do appreciate that you're answering the question, but we're not going to be discussing it.
Okay, I'm not going to campaign, but anyway.
I think we'll get a chance if
sometimes.
Would you like to challenge the ruling of the chair so we can talk about it tonight?
Okay. I guess I overstepped the.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. I couldn't resist.
That's it. We have some people waiting for certain resolutions. I'm going to move up the resolution H if Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee Chair Martha Robertson could, if you have a brief report, go ahead and do that. If not, why don't you just move resolution H?
Oh, yeah, no, no.
No report, just the committee won't be meeting until February 14th. That's the second Thursday of the month at 3 o'clock. And I've sent out, I think most of you know, I've sent out the list of liaison assignments. I haven't heard from all committee members yet, though, about what they're interested in. So maybe if people can get to me, that'd be great.
How did you send it out, Martha?
Well, by email. I understand by email.
Just thought I'd check.
All right. So because I'd like to finalize those so people can start going to the meetings. And I'll take a deep breath and read it. Resolution of the Tompkins County Legislature as the official elected legislative body of Tompkins County, New York, in accordance with Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended the code, approving the issuance by the Tompkins County Industrial Development Agency of up to $18.5 million in aggregate principal amount civic facility revenue bonds, Tompkins Cortland Community College Foundation Incorporated Project Series 2008, and I so move.
Seconded by Mike Hattery. Is there discussion?
Ready to vote?
Have a short roll call. Dooley.
Not discussion, but a comment. I always like to look at the environmental assessment forms that go with these things, mm-hmm. and it only became available at the last minute. And I'm just making my complaint now.
So we'll have a short form roll call.
Ms. Cha?
Yes, I don't have any comment.
Yes, there's a yes.
Yes. Mr. Stevenson?
Yes.
And then it would be reported as voting no. That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Michael and Carl, for coming. In case we had questions. We also have staff here for resolutions D and E. I guess we'll move those up as well. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, you had a meeting today, Leslie McBean Claiborne?
Yes, sir. F and I met today at 4 before this legislature meeting to deal with the two resolutions that are before you. And move those resolutions, if I can find them. Here's the red folder. Resolution D, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Making a negative determination of environmental significance in relation to resolution number E of 2008, approving the acquisition, purchase, and lease of property located at 55 Brown Road, Village of Lansing, New York, for use by the Tompkins County Health Department, and I so move.
Seconded by Dooley. Is there discussion? Frank, then Kathy.
Maybe Ed is the right person to address this too. Ed, is this the secret determination? Is this the one that is broken down into three pieces that deals with environment, economic, and the third piece that always escapes me?
Well, this basically deals with environmental impacts. If you get into a full environmental impact statement, there are social and economic pieces to that. But when it's an unlisted action and you don't see any major impacts, this short form has just a short list of questions which need to be addressed, and those were addressed.
So it's our option to determine which of the two paths we want to go down?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, legislature can decide as the lead agency that this should have a positive declaration. What came out of committee was a negative determination of significance.
Then, Mr. Chairman, sure. I'd like your guidance on the appropriate time to offer an amendment or a substitute, if you will, that we do a long-form assessment.
That would be a fine time.
I'd like to move that we do a long-form environmental assessment to address the three category marks just described: social, economic, and environment.
Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second it.
Kathy, is there discussion? Kathy?
I wasn't going to support and did not support in committee the this resolution. Part of the problem that I have is the, I believe, it was given short shrift when legislators asked for the cost of construction of potential additions to the building that were provided. The problem is because discussion centered around potential additions, even though some of the members of this body said those are off the table and they don't count, the fact remains we've taken a building that was a rectangular building and we've fitted in a bent elliptical, we've taken a rectangular peg and we've put it in an elliptical hole. And we've moved things to different floors, we've changed the size of the conference room, and we have a confidential memo that deals with some of the specifics on this. I believe that it's entirely possible, and actually was alluded to in some of the discussions, public discussions before this body, that those additions might be more convenient both for the construction workers and for the occupants of the building to do at the time the building is originally constructed. And many of those who are very concerned about and willing to accommodate the wishes and needs of workers, at least when it's convenient, might at that time decide that such an addition is a perfect thing to do. In other words, it's been stated that even though the addition is off the table right now, it's possible that when the time comes to put the shovels in the ground in January of 2009, that addition might be on the table. So we're essentially signing a blank check for a building that we really don't know may or may not contain the addition, regardless of whether people think it's on the table or off the table. I think that the confidential memo and the needs to be discussed, and I don't know how to do that. Well, that's a separate question, but in terms of expanding the seeker, I think it's very appropriate because there are so many things that need to be taken into account. And as a matter of fact, I even heard one of my colleagues expressing on the radio today an acknowledgement, which was, I believe, a few months late in coming, that the process was flawed and rushed. And what occurs to me now is that after this seeker is passed, and if the other resolution passes 6 months from now, will be too late for us to make changes and admissions that this has been a flawed and rushed process. So I think we should take due deliberate action and that it would be a way of assuring the public as well as the colleagues of yours that have asked for the kind of consideration that we, and specifically I want to say chairman of the committee at that time, Frank Proto, and chairman of the committee at that respective time, me, gave when considering Brown Road originally. So I'd like to ask my colleagues to help us out here because there are still many questions. And once we make this decision, there's no going back.
The amendment on the floor is to change to a long-form environmental impact statement. Is there further discussion? Are you ready to vote? All in favor?
We have a roll call, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly.
Ms. Chalk? No. Mr. Dennis?
No.
Mr. Hattery?
No.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph?
No.
Ms. Kiefer?
No.
Ms. McAsee?
No.
Mrs. McBean-Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Mr. Randall?
No.
Ms. Robertson?
No.
Mr. Shinagawa?
No.
Mr. Sigler?
No.
Mr. Stevenson?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplinka-Lair?
No.
Four ayes, 11 noes.
That fails. We're back to the original resolution. Kathy Lewis Herrera, then I had Leslie McBean-Claiborne.
So my comments about the confidential memo are that I'd really like to discuss it, and it's a confidential memo. So I need some guidance from the chair or the attorney on how one goes about doing that, because there's some specific points raised in that that I think speak to the issues that have concerned the public, certainly, but also many members of this legislature, and I believe that they're worthy of exploration. So who can tell me what's the right way to do it? If we ask for an executive session, what is it to discuss, or how do we do it?
You would have to move to go to an executive session.
Well, is the memo sufficient Does it provide a sufficient reason to go to executive session? I think that's what Kathy's asking.
Yes. Let me put it this way. The fact that a memorandum is marked confidential does not provide a reason to go into executive session. You could go into executive session for various specified reasons. To be honest, I don't know what the memo says, so I can't tell you whether...
It discusses some particulars of the building, and so it's possible, yeah, if you got a chance to read it. It, for me, would have to do with negotiations about whether the seeker is... people want to sign it or not, and whether the next step should be taken. But that's just me. I mean, that's why I need guidance.
Well, while we get that guidance, just reading the memo, are there other comments? Leslie, did you have something else?
My comment had to do about moving into executive session.
Okay. Are there other comments regarding
the letter we got and a few other things and the memo?
Other comments regarding Resolution H?
It's not H. That was
I'm sorry. You're right. G.
D.
D.
I like your
All right. We'll wait for a determination.
I'm familiar with the issue in the memo. I mean, its relationship to the building is somewhat tangential. I mean, it could involve personnel matters, and I think one could go into executive session for the purpose of discussing the personnel matters therein.
Leslie, there's a motion.
I don't know if this will be the appropriate time since the resolution is on the floor, but I will ask for us to enter into executive session to discuss personnel matters as it relates to the building as well as negotiation matters that relate to the resolution that's on the floor.
And is there a second?
A second.
Discussion? We're ready to vote. Martha.
Is it appropriate to do it when we're talking about the seeker or the next resolution?
They're related. Doesn't matter.
Well, I think because they're related, we'll go into executive session before the first vote.
Let's get it out of the way.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor of going into executive session before voting? Opposed? That fails 7-8. Resolution D is still on the floor. Are there further discussion? Frank Proto.
Ed, if Resolution D passes in its present form as far as a short deck, what's the appropriate, can you describe the appropriate way for it to be challenged, if it were to be challenged?
You mean, John, public
seeker
challenges?
Determination can be, Jonathan would be the better person to answer that question.
Okay. A seeker determination can be challenged by an Article 78 proceeding. That's a lawsuit in the Supreme Court within 120 days from the day it's made. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Are we prepared to vote? This is the initial Resolution D, not amended. Carol.
I have discussion. I lived and worked in that building, practically lived in it for quite a number of years, and I did check the number of people we had. It was the Cornell University Alumni Affairs and Development Office for many years, and I checked, we did have 170 people in that building, which was far greater than the number that will be in it. So my consideration about the seeker in particular and the possible suitability of use for the building is sort of partly based on having been in it and realizing the ways in which the particular shape of that building worked very well to promote interaction communication between the various departments that we had in the building. And then just the fact that I don't see in terms of the seeker that the use of the building is substantially changing in terms of the impact on the community around it, that it's a very similar type of use. So I'll point that out.
And Frank Proto.
Carol, the reason that I asked for the full-blown seeker was Commissioner Marks described, the current one simply describes or simply asks for the environmental impacts. The full-blown would include the social and the economic impacts. And I think because so many of, well, several of us have asked for a lot more information over the last several months, some of it's economic, some of it's social, and certainly some of it's environmental, but I think the environmental impact perhaps is not going to be impacted as greatly as the other two might be, but we don't know that. And this particular, the opportunity to do a full seeker might provide that information.
But the resolution on the floor is not about the full seeker, it is resolution D. Nathan?
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Okay. Are we ready to vote? Martha?
I've often wished that the seeker form could allow the lead agency to say something that's going to have a beneficial effect on the environment. So I would just say that I think that reusing a building instead of building a new one is going to have a very positive effect on the environment overall.
And Kathy Lou Serrer.
The reason I supported the extended seeker is because, as it's been mentioned in several emails and telephone contacts and letters that we've gotten, people are going to have to be driving additional distances due to it's not being close to the medical center anymore. That includes vendors, that includes clients, that includes staff. This is hard to measure, but it's a definite environmental impact, and it, with the high cost of gasoline and with the limited gas affects the environment, I think that can't be denied. So I'm not sure that our attribution of some LEED certification can really tell us the whole picture unless we go into more detail, especially since we're moving this from its proximity to the hospital where there's been synergy and that was demonstrated and mentioned by a number of documents that were presented to us early on when we asked for and got lots of input from staff suggesting that it not be moved.
Are we prepared to vote on Resolution D? All in favor, raise your hands and please keep them up. Opposed? That passes 11 to 4. Want to move Resolution E? Martha?
No.
I'm sorry. Leslie, excuse me. I'm
we look
off
alike.
Off by a committee.
Resolution E. approving the acquisition, purchase, and lease of the property located at 55 Brown Road, Village of Lansing, New York, for use by the Tompkins County Health Department, and I so move.
Is there a second? Jim Dennis, we've gotten a variety of memos about this. Pleasant, did you raise your hand to speak to it?
I did, Mr. Chair, because I wanted to make sure that I pointed out that when the committee met this afternoon, both the resolution that just passed, D and E, made its way out of committee with a 3-2 vote. And there were still a lot of questions that some legislators on the committee have and feel very uncomfortable voting and supporting this without getting some of those questions answered, especially some of the side-by-side comparisons when it comes to the financials.
Thank you. Julie Kiefer.
I think that if the chair of F&I who introduced this resolution intends to vote against it, I'm not sure it was appropriate for her to introduce it. I think if you introduce it, you vote for it. Am I misremembering something?
I think she can introduce it for the committee as a chair.
I think I cannot speak against it, but I can introduce it for the committee. I can vote against it.
Okay.
That's right. Under Robert's rules, a mover may not speak against a resolution, but they don't have to vote for it.
Okay.
And I did not speak.
Frank Proto.
I'd like to offer some amended wording. This resolution has been carefully crafted to avoid, in the third whereas, the actual work done by the Health Department Building Committee. And the third whereas, first line, currently reads, whereas that committee's work culminated with the decision by the legislature to select the property owned, etc. And that's true as far as it goes. But the wording I'd like to substitute is, whereas the committee's work culminated with the decision to build a new building across from the existing big site, comma, the legislature, insert the word, voted to select the property owned by the Cornell, by Cornell Real Estate. I want to make it perfectly clear
that's
that
been moved. Is there a second? Kathy Lou Herrera. Well, I can ask, is it friendly, first of all?
I am. It's friendly to me.
Is it friendly to the seconder, Jim Dennis?
No.
No. Okay, so moved and seconded as amended language. Who wants to speak to it? Frank?
Yes. I think it's important to recognize that the Health Department Building Committee met for 3 years, and to sort of brush aside the fact that they came to this body with a different site recommended and a different process that recommended a different site, this seems to me to be hiding behind certain wording. And I think since the resolution will stand in the minutes the way that it is voted on this evening, I think it's important to clarify the work of that committee and recognize that they did not bring this site here. And I think for anyone who reads our procedures or proceedings years from now, they ought to understand that that committee's work should not be misunderstood. And that's simply a clarification.
Okay, thanks. Mike Sigler, Kathy, Nathan, then Dooley.
I mean, it seems like It seems like we're rehashing a lot of stuff, which I think is great, and I think we should talk about this a lot. I mean, it's a lot of money that we're going to be spending on this building. And I guess I just really have kind of a question for the four people who are against this. I understand some are against it for process. I mean, is there anything short of building a new building up at the Biggs B site that would satisfy you? I mean, I want you to walk out of this room happy with this decision, because it's going to be a lot of money. And I understand the negative energy coming from you. But it seems to me you have two options here. And it's either we go with this site, the Brown site, or, which seems to be the majority, I mean, pretty much an overwhelming majority now, would like to go that direction. Or we go with what you want to do, and that's basically build a brand new building up at the Biggs B site, which is going to be about $4.5 million more. And I think that that's kind of getting lost in the discussion, too. I mean, I know a lot of people who are voting for this Brown Road site primarily because it's $4.5 million less. And if that's the only two options we're putting out there, then I think people should know that as well. Those are the two options. And, yeah, you know, we can say, well, how do we stop this? And we can keep putting up roadblocks, and we can keep this discussion going every time we bring up this building, but in the end, those are the two options. So my question for the, I guess it's around four people who are against this is, I mean, is there something out there that's going to make this satisfactory to you? And if there isn't, I'm not sure how to deal with that. I mean, I guess you're always going to have some people that are unhappy with the decision. But is there something that would make you more pleased with it? I guess would be the main question for you.
I have Kathy, Nathan, Dooley,
then
Tim.
You just gave me a gift, Mike, because that's actually right exactly what I want to talk about. The premise that a lot of the legislators are operating under is that you're sure that it's going to save you $4.5 million, and I'm not so sure. As a matter of fact, I think that the gyrations and the shading of language and the careful omissions indicate to me that we're going to sign a blank check, and there's going to be additions to the building, there's going to be cost increases, and we will never know, if our questions aren't answered adequately, we will never be able to make that comparison, whether or not it actually would have saved us money. And it's not, as one of our colleagues famously said, it's not a Cadillac. I don't think we were ever asking for a Cadillac, but the fact is, what we can do is put our heads in the sand and say, it meets our needs, it meets our needs, it meets our needs. And that's what I hear the majority doing. And, Mike, it's funny you talking about being in the minority and what that's like, because I know that when you're in the majority, it's easy to say to your colleagues, oh, please stop causing so much trouble. I wish you'd just, you know, stop complaining and stop playing the victim. The fact is, I'm pretty convinced that I'm onto something here. And I want to save us from buying a white elephant and having a legacy that we can't go back on even 6 months from now that will follow us as legislators and as members of the taxpaying public for how many years? This isn't to be gone into lightly. The notion of saving money has gotten everybody hypnotized. You're not thinking about construction costs go up. You're squeezing something into something where it doesn't mean to be. Yes, you can take the health department and say to them, oh, these programs that were supposed to go in your building, let's shove them off in another building so that we can say we can fit more people in the rabbit warren. You can say, we'll talk about the adding the conference room and changing it and moving things around and moving WIC, and then we can prove that it'll meet the needs of the health department. There has been so many gyrations on this, and you know it. And the fact remains, this is a bad decision. I was at a memorial service recently for somebody who one of his famous remarks, and some of you were there, was this is a stupid decision. You know, after somebody's dead, you can say, isn't it wonderful that this person was so candid and said that? When they're alive and looking you in the face, it's kind of annoying. I'm okay with being the annoying person that's saying this is a stupid decision, and we need to think about it and to ask for more information, because I'm dependent on the taxpayers. I'm not a politician. I'm an activist. And the fact is, the taxpayers are going to be paying for this for a long time when we could have had a real building built to our specifications on our own property that might not have cost that much more. But we'll never know if we don't ask.
Nathan Shinagawa.
I had a point of clarification. I just wanted Frank to, and I know we're actually discussing the proposed amendment right now, right?
Yeah.
So I was wondering if, Frank, if you could just repeat your amendment.
Just read it again?
Yes, just read it again.
It should now read, well, hopefully,
whereas
the committee's work culminated with the decision to build a new building across from the existing Biggs site, comma, the legislature voted to select, and then the rest of it reads the same.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Frank. Dooley, and then Tim.
I don't have a problem with amending the resolution to more clearly reflect what Frank is concerned about. I recall an earlier resolution that we went back and added or massaged language in addressing exactly this same point. So doing it another time doesn't bother me, but I think a more accurate way to change it, let me try a substitute, would be to say, whereas the Health Department Building Committee forwarded a set of location choices but recommended the construction of a new building, just as Frank said. And then the next whereas says, whereas the legislature decided. Because they were separate steps. And so if that were friendly.
Can you say it again, though?
The idea was that the Health Department Building Committee forwarded a set of location choices but recommended construction of a new building just where you said.
And that's friendly to the mover? And
I don't know if it's friendly to the seconder.
The distinction bothers me because I think it muddies the waters even more, actually. It makes it sound as though we forwarded a set of six or eight recommendations, and the fact was...
No, you forwarded the locations, but you recommended one, although the charge was to forward a set of locations. So
I think it muddies the water even more. If somebody else feels like seconding it, you're free to do it.
Well, it's not friendly to the seconder of the amendment. Do you want to propose that as an amendment to the amendment, Dooley?
Well, that was my attempt. Yes,
okay. Is there a seconder to Dooley's wording, an amendment to the amendment? Nathan Shinagawa, discussion on the amendment to the amendment. This is the wording that Dooley has recently read twice. Is there further discussion?
I don't want to beat this dead horse, but I actually do appreciate recognizing the work of the committee throughout all of these resolutions. It's been consistent, and I appreciate you bringing that amendment forward, Dooley.
Are we ready to vote on the amendment to the... Tim?
I'm prepared to vote for this amendment because it's an accurate reflection of what actually happened. But I want everybody to understand what actually happened. The final recommendation out of that committee was made on the same day that a legislature meeting was happening. There was one person absent from the meeting, and there were two in favor of the new building on West Hill and two in favor of the current project that we're talking about. And I was one of those. I was on that committee, as were Frank and Kathy. And I was one of those that supported the current project, and it was clear that on a 2-2 vote, nothing would come out, and we wouldn't have a resolution to vote on that night. So I switched, and I voted with Kathy and Frank, so that, in fact, the committee did recommend the other site, and I did that so that we could bring it to the legislature floor, and then the legislature could amend it if they wished. We would at least have it on the floor. Ever since that decision, we have had a drumbeat of attack on the decision by a few legislators. And what has been most striking to me about that has been that it doesn't admit the possibility of honest differences. Over and over again, we've been told that there's been manipulation and secrets kept and something dishonest about the process, and that that's a proof that this is the wrong choice, is that it has to be handled in such a secretive and manipulative way. Most of us don't agree with that. We honestly believe that we had the information we needed to make a decision, that we made a decision, that it is the right decision, that it does save $4.5 million, and that there's good reasons to go ahead and carry on with it. The people who disagree are perfectly free to say that they disagree, but I wish they could do so in a way that acknowledges that the disagreements here are honest differences of opinion.
We are about to vote. I know there may be more people who want to speak on an amendment to an amendment. Kathy Lucerera.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I need to respond to that because actually there was something that happened before that event. And what happened before that event actually has affected my whole demeanor about this. I might get emotional here because the revisionist history that Tim just presented is in its omission the key to the issue for me, because there's a way that when you control the information, as entitled as I can be and have one vote and sit here around the table with you, when I ask as a legislator for the information, I am entitled to it and I expect to get it. At the meeting that happened prior to the meeting that Tim just described with all its characterizations, which I won't address, as chair of the committee, I voted to consider the Brown Road site. And I did it in the spirit of open-mindedness, conciliation, respect for peers, respect for people who may think differently from me. And I did it even though I wasn't sure that it was the right site, and I tended to think that Brown Road was a mistake, but I did it because I thought it was important, since other members of my committee thought it was important. And that's the way, when I chair a committee, I like to do things. What happened from then I will describe as a freight train, and I couldn't believe the lack of consideration that my requests for more information were getting. Since then, my concern about the way that when the majority decides that after all there's only four, only two of you, and why are you so angry, the way that that carries forth is disconcerting, because being characterized as being angry when in fact my honest difference of opinion has validity. I have experience in construction, in projects, in understanding costs, and I have a world of experience in common sense, and to have that invalidated simply because I happen to be in the minority, and the rub being that I could have thrown an obstacle into this process early on by simply saying, you know, I'm not inclined to like that project, so I'm not going to consider it. I'm going to vote no to consider Brown Road. And at that moment, I could have done it, and I've even spoken with Dooley about that, saying, you know, part of what that teaches me about the legislative process is be inflexible, don't ever give anybody a chance, cut them off at the knees, because that seems to be the tenor since then with regard to this project. And I've protested because I've felt that those who wanted more information were treated as less than equals here, and as minorities here. So if I seem strident to you, it's because I expect justice, I expect fairness, I expect to be treated as an equal and to get information that will help us make a better decision. The characterizations that were just thrown out, I think, are typical of what happens when the majority just wants to go on and do what it's doing and not be interrupted by those pesky people that are in the minority.
We're about to vote on an amendment to an amendment. This is wording clarification. Leslin, Martha, Mike Sigler.
Mr. Chair, I hear you clearly about trying to vote on the amendments of the amendments, and if we can vote on the amendment, then I too, you know, do want to have an opportunity to respond to Mike and Tim and their characterizations, but I don't want to muddy what's here now.
Okay.
We're talking about the amendments.
I'll come back to you. Martha, is that the same case for you?
Because we'll still have the main resolution.
Well, I assume that the changing of the language won't change any votes on the resolution. So, right?
Okay.
I don't really have anything else to say.
On the amendment to the amendment, Mike Sigler, do you have a point, or do you want to wait for a more full discussion?
I don't really want to wait, because otherwise it'll take too long. I just want to make clear, my characterization was not a characterization of you or the fact that you should stop debate or whatever you want to do. My point is that if you're going to have a counterpoint of let's build a new building, I mean, every one of the questions you asked was answered for me. I mean, when you're saying, is the building going to be big enough? Is the building... All that has, for me anyway, has been answered. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you're looking to persuade me into building a new building, I need something to be persuaded by. If you're saying that this isn't going to save us $4.5 million, not a single person I've talked to has said that. Everybody that we've had in, the consultants, I mean, we've had a lot of information. And frankly, that's what they've said repeatedly. So it's not that I'm saying to stop debate, but I'm just kind of like hearing the same thing at this point, and it's leading to me to say, well, it's not softening my opinion to say, okay, let's go and maybe reconsider this and let's build a new building because it's not going to be any more expensive. If you're looking to soften my position on the Brown Road site, I guess the way to do that would be to say, okay, here's the reasons it's not going to cost less money. And that just has never,
I'm
not a single person.
I'm seeking that information, Mike. I'm seeking it, but I'm not getting it from staff.
I'm going to be asking people, right. we're sliding into the area of, you know, personalizing some of our characterizations. I'd like to stick to, we have the right to make characterizations, but try to keep them global. I had Jim Dennis to speak to the amendment on the amendment.
Yes. At the time the amendment on the amendment was being made, I was speaking to Catherine Covert, and I didn't hear it. I would just like to hear it. The amendment.
Could it be read again, Dooley or whoever captured it?
I think what I said was that the Health Department Building Committee forwarded a set of location choices but recommended the construction of a new building at the, whatever Frank's wording was,
across
the street from the present location on West Hill. And then the next whereas would have to say whereas the legislature decided to select property owned by Cornell Real Estate and located at 55 Brown Road.
Is everyone clear about the wording? I saw Greg's hand before we vote on the amendment to the amendment.
I was just going to ask the same question, Mike.
Okay. Are you prepared to vote?
But does that mean that it's Friend that is the seconder and we don't have to do this?
No, Kathy.
Okay.
If this succeeds, this becomes the amendment to the main motion. We'll vote again on whether this amendment is allowed. Are you prepared to vote? All in favor of... Frank?
One question.
Sure.
Clarification. In order to address some of the items that Tim brought up, would it be appropriate to hold that until we discuss the main resolution?
I think it would
resolution?
Be.
Thank
yes.
you.
We are about to vote on the amendment to the amendment. All in favor? Keep your hands up for a moment. Opposed? That passes 14 to 1. That is now the amendment to the main resolution. Are we ready to vote on the amendment, which is that wording, to the main resolution? All in favor?
To add the amendment.
Of what?
It's now the amendment to the main resolution. We are changing the wording of the main resolution with Dooley's wording, which is now the amendment.
That's what we just voted on.
We voted on it once to make it the amendment.
Again.
We have to vote on it again to yeah. incorporate it into the main resolution.
Your amendment now.
All in favor and opposed. All right. We're now speaking to the main motion as amended. I have other people before you, Nathan, just a minute. I have Leslin, Martha, and then Nathan.
Yeah. I appreciate hearing from Mike and Tim on how they see things. I have not, in all of my voting, said anything about wanting to build a new building. So to characterize my thinking as there are two choices, either this or that, is not accurate. I have been voting against this because of what I see as a process that I thought was a little rushed, the involvement of staff in this process, some of the things we try to get out in executive session, like the confidential memo we got that talks about the possible reshuffling of programming, the letter we got from another developer. There are all of those things that I think that there are answers that need to happen and more discussion that perhaps should and could happen so folks can feel well satisfied that they got the answers they need. I think every legislator has the right to ask for more and more questions. We've gone through this before with any number of things, and people are respectful in trying to get that information to legislators. Eventually, people do make the votes, so they make the votes where they end up voting. So I don't like the characterization that it's either this or that, especially for me, and I can only speak for myself. It is a matter of, can we entertain a process where people are feeling satisfied? I feel like I got a memo from the current director of the health department that doesn't feel warm and friendly. I don't know what's behind it. I'm reading it, and I'm reading between the lines, and so I need to know more. I needed to know more. Legislators are asking more questions. We've asked the questions about any building that we put up. We're looking at a potential for expansion. What would that look like? No, it's not what we're voting on now, but it is something that's going to affect us in the future, and so we always ask those questions. We did it with the jail facility. There's nothing new here. So I don't think that we're mixing apples, oranges, and grapes. I think they're very legitimate questions that people are asking in. Asking for answers to, and that would inform their vote. And I am asking similarly that you're asking to be respected in the differences of opinion, that their differences also be respected, and our differences, because I'm including mine, also be respected. I said this in committee, that people will vote where they want to vote, and I want to respect that, and I am respecting that, and that's the only thing here.
Thank you. I have Martha, Nathan, then Dooley.
If I can pass, but get a shot later.
Sure. Nathan.
I'd just like Ed or Arel to kind of give an update since we started talking about 55 Brown Road, kind of all of the things that have happened in the meantime. You know, what kind of discussions have taken place between, you know, with consultants, with staff, whatever, just so that kind of the public understands what has gone on since then, and that it just hasn't been, you know, a blank bit of time from the initial discussions to now.
Frank, could you... I'm sorry, Ed, could you characterize the transition from the vote in September to now? It has been evolving a bit.
Well, as you know, subsequent to the legislature's initial vote on this, Tim appointed as chair at that time of the legislature a separate committee made up of staff and legislators to look at the building and begin the process of developing the conceptual design for the building. And so that committee met several times through the fall, as well as the consultants met several times with staff directly outside of that committee process. There were questions, there were issues. That's what a process like that is about. You work through those Actually, in the very beginning of the space use master planning process, we always anticipated that when you got down to that conceptual level design, you'd start to change some things to make a building as efficient as possible. So some of those things have been addressed in this conceptual design process. Probably some more will be addressed in future stages of the design process. But we have attempted to answer every question brought up by staff or by legislators. I don't know what the questions we haven't answered are, quite honestly. No one has called me since the last meeting with any questions, except for one. Pam asked one question about the numbers of the cost estimates. So I think we've done everything we've been asked to do. And at the conceptual level design, I don't think we can say anything more about the building than what we've said. And it wouldn't make sense to spend the kind of money to do final design work at this stage in the process. So I think we followed a process. I think it's the process we always intended to follow. And I think we have information at this point, which is what information of the level you would expect to have at this point in the process.
Thank you, Ed. We're about to vote on Resolution E. I have Dooley, then Greg, then Martha.
I thought I had brought with me, but do not find it. The rough square foot cost estimates from the firm LaBella used to answer that question, which was one of the questions that the construction committee had asked for. Should there be an addition? What would it cost? You may remember that these resolutions were expected to be on our legislative agenda at an earlier meeting, but the construction committee chose not to move on them because there were questions that they wanted answered, and those questions got asked and did get answered, at least for the people who were on the construction committee. Because I'm on that committee at the moment, I did not feel we were missing any information and felt that we could go forward with this. On a personal note, I would much rather be building a new building and trying to have a zero carbon footprint. But I cannot justify spending however much that additional money would be and leaving another building possibly not renovated in an energy sensible manner on the still functioning on Brown Road. So I am content to move forward with this. It's the best we can do, and it may allow us to address our problems with our existing jail building sooner rather than later. So for a variety of reasons, I'm prepared to go forward with this.
Thank you. I have Greg, Martha, Pam, then Tyke.
As probably the last one of the four dissenters to Brown Road to say anything, I think Leslin hit the nail on the head that negative support or not supporting the Brown Road site clearly isn't synonymous with supporting the adjacent to Biggs site. There was a point in the process that, and there was a lot of confidentiality issues in this process. And there was a point in the process where I desired to speak to constituents and acquaintances that worked at the health department to ask them questions about this potential move. And it wasn't possible. We were in a time where things were confidential related to the current owner of the building, and I couldn't make the contacts that I thought I needed to support the Brown Road building. So without being able to do what I thought was the homework I needed to do to support Brown Road, I didn't support it. That also isn't synonymous with thinking anything sinister about the process as it's gone on. I'm not making any accusations like that, but I don't think that this process was as open as it should have been, and I couldn't have gotten the information that I wanted from constituents and acquaintances. So there you have it.
Thank you, Greg. Martha, Pam?
I really appreciate Mike Sigler's comments. It has you know, this is the real world where we have to do one thing or another, but we have to do something. The building that the health department's in now is just going to cost us way more money just to keep it going the longer we deliberate. And I think we have a responsibility to the taxpayers not to let that go on indefinitely. We have an opportunity to do something here that will save the taxpayers $4.5 million. I have a number of memos from Alice Cole, a number of emails that say she supports the site. I have the minutes here from the Health Department Construction, Health Building Construction Committee, November 26, pages of comments from Health Department staff and questions asked and responses given. And I think the staff has really been engaged in this for a long time. The staffing level now of 91 people, it's only 83.5 FTEs, but it's 91 individuals. And again, many of them out in the field much of their week, their work week. Even if you count 91 bodies full-time, the space that that's available, according to the consultants, is 104 workstations. That's a space available right now. So that would allow for more than a 14% growth factor in the current building. As Carol said, 170 people worked at Cornell in that building. I can believe it. I know how they like to do things. So I think I really appreciate the question that you've asked. I think what's at the core is nobody can predict the future, but I think we have really competent staff and competent consultants, and it's our job to listen to all sides. And I believe the people who are telling us, the experts who are telling us, that this is a good building and it'll work.
I believe we're moving closer to a vote. I have Pam, Tyke, Jim, and Frank.
Tonight, we are voting on the new site for the County Health Department. This should be a moment of relief. Relief that we have finally found a new home for the Health Department, away from the woefully inadequate present location. It should also be a time of excitement as staff anticipate a move to a workplace that fills their program space needs and provides a safe and pleasant work environment for them. Unfortunately, I think the path to this moment has not been a very pleasant moment for many people because of the process we used was not well thought out. For example, health department staff took time from their busy work schedules to respond to requests by legislators for their opinions on specific sites being considered. Their overwhelming choice was a new building across the driveway for the present location. Not surprisingly, when the legislature decided on the Brown Road site, Health Department staff felt unheard. And I would like to apologize to the Health Department's employees for the way this was handled. Staff opinions on specific building sites, and I regret that we did. The legislature, however, has an obligation to all its staff and to taxpayers that goes beyond site selection. Employee preference for one site over another has to be weighed against cost and other pressing county needs. Health department staff should never have been put in the position we put them in. We need to develop a process in the future for future building acquisition or development that makes sure that this situation does not reoccur. However, tonight we need to separate out the faulty process by which we got here from the decision to move forward to buy a building that fills our needs and saves the taxpayers over $4 million. And I urge the legislature to pass this resolution.
Thank you, Pam. Again, we'd like to move to a vote. I have five speakers. Tyke?
I've been criticized a whole lot about not saying very much, and it seems to be that people are surprised when I do, I guess. And I guess that happened today. I guess this time around, I do have something to say. And I guess the way I was started is that, you know, first of all, I appreciate and welcomed all the committee work that happened prior to me even being involved with this. It helped me as a new legislator to fill in a lot of blanks. I know how important history is. With that being said, I was on that committee, the Health Department Building Committee, and I still am on that committee. I was one of the ones that voted not to go with Brown Road, and a lot of that was because at the time I was pretty angry. I felt a little bushwhacked. I think things happened way too fast without us being able to really take a good hard look at it. It was painful. It took some time to get over that, but I did get over it. I have a lifetime of experience in this kind of thing, this in the construction business. We all bring gifts and talents to the table. We're doing that tonight, and it makes things a whole lot clearer because it forces you to look at things from other perspectives. But standing back and looking at it from the perspective of somebody that's been in the construction field, yeah, there was a lot of questions asked, but yes, all those questions were answered. All my questions were answered, and then some. There was criticism about talking about additions. Okay, that's going to happen. Well, that's not true. When I first looked to buy a house with my wife, you know, I had an option. Did I want to build a new house or did I want to buy an old house and refurbish it? What was going to meet my needs at the time? Well, as history shows, I bought the old house. I looked at it from the perspective, okay, if my family grows, if I start to have kids, you know, is this house going to be big enough or am I able to add on to this house to accommodate that? That's exactly what Aurel and everybody else in LaBella showed, that yes, if the program grew, yes, an addition could be put on to meet those needs. Great. You know, it's not written in stone that that's going to happen. I think people get nervous about that, and I understand that because it's money. But, you know, I think all the answers are there. We've had more than enough time now. There was a time when things seemed to be rushed really quickly. It seems to me that we're at a point now where we need to put aside the anger, the frustrations, and move on. This is the best option for the taxpayer who we represent, the taxpayers, and I think, you know, I will be supporting this at this point.
Thank you. Four more speakers. Jim, Frank, Kathy, and Leslie.
Very short, Mike. I've supported this in the committee that Frank chaired and the construction committee. A comment I wanted to make, the other day I was quoted in the newspaper as having some sort of inside information, and apparently you all had the inside information before I did. But at any rate, I gave the impression in the article that the staff or the employees were in favor of us moving to Brown Road. And when we had the Kevin LaBella presentation and they talked about staff and the rest of the employees, I was lumping everyone together thinking, well, people were supporting this who were employees of the health department. And I think I caused Alice some Alice Cole some problems by my comment, and I apologize to her for that. But what I gleaned from the presentation from Kevin was that there was consultation, discussion back and forth between Kevin and the staff, being the managers, I guess I am referring to that, and our own people. So having said that, the only thing that concerns me, one of the things that concerns me about all the discussion is that our own staff, I feel like if I were them, I would feel a little stung by some of the comments that have been made over the many months that have gone on, that they were accused of a variety of things, and I don't think any of those things were actually true. And I think the staff has done a commendable job bringing us to the point we are.
Frank Proto, Kathy Lou Severa, then Leslin. I'd like to go to a vote after that.
I'd like to talk about the issue. as opposed to personalities. With all due respect to my colleague, Mike Sigler, discourse and often disagreement is part of the democratic small d process. Honest disagreement, regardless of what it's about, is part of what this is all about at our level and certainly at other levels. And if there's a question about how to proceed, our rules indicate that we will abide by Robert's Rules of Order. And if one is able to use Robert's Rules of Order properly and in the manner in which they're intended, you can stymie, whether you like it or not, you can stymie any process by the appropriate means of implementing those rules. Not always pleasant, but that's what they're for. Having said that, the issue here, in my opinion, and I'd like to take a stab at something Pam said. We have a history, and some of us have a longer history than others, of involving staff and involving stakeholders, a word that I've come to know in my tenure on this board and certainly on this legislature. We have a history of involving stakeholders in evaluating sites, evaluating moving offices. We did it with the community justice system. We did it with probation. We did it with the human services building. We did it with the mental health building. And a lot of those buildings I was involved in. We did it with examining sites for the potential library when we looked at Woolworths in those days. So I don't have any problem with involving staff, particularly since they're the people that are going to have to live in whatever site we decide they're going to be in. I think that, and I appreciate your apology, Pam, I think staff does deserve an apology. They were asked to comment by this legislature and weigh in. And if you go back to the minutes, as some of us have done, you'll see where individual legislators asked for comments by staff members. I'm not going to bore you with the list that I made of who asked for that kind of information. But at any rate, suffice it to say that in my opinion, in my just brief rereading of the minutes, and I hope some of you do that occasionally, you'll see who's asked the questions of staff. One thing I do agree with Pam about is when you're about to vote on something of this magnitude, you would expect members of the department, perhaps the commissioner, perhaps in this case the director of health, to be here championing the cause. Is this building adequate? Probably is. And that's been my concern. We're going to spend, according to Mike Sigler and, according to the numbers we've seen, I don't want to pick on you, Mike, something between $4 and $4.5 million on a building. Can we provide adequate space? Yeah, this will be adequate, and I've said that before. Is it something that we should be shifting from one foot to the other, from one site to the other? In my opinion, no. I don't think that it's a wise expenditure of money. Now, I don't know, I'm not as good as David at picking interest rates, but some of us deal with finances on a daily basis, and I think this is a poor expenditure of taxpayer money. My opinion. And as Tyke has said, we each bring certain strengths to this board and gifts to this board. In my evaluation, according to Ed's memo, the consultant has provided a rough construction cost estimate for the addition options of $250 to $275 per square foot in current dollars. That's the addition. I dare say that on the construction and the remodeling, now this is an area that some of us have had some experience in, because some of us do development. I think that's if we can shave some dollars off that in remodeling, and I think Tyke would agree with it, if we can get that down around $100 a square foot, not for the addition now, but for the interior remodeling, we're probably doing ourselves a favor and the taxpayers a favor. I don't know if that's possible. We only have estimates at this point, and I think that's where our colleague, Kathy Lucerero, was going. She was asking for some numbers. We won't have final or even more definite numbers until we go through the step that Ed described. And that's the actual documents that have to be prepared in order to come up with the numbers. I sensed from the memos that we received from Director Alice Cole that there was some hesitancy in those memos. My opinion, if Tim wants to talk about process in the committee and how, now I hate to use this word, but how one can manipulate the vote in the committee in order to get an issue out of committee so that it can be voted another way at a different level, I'd like to talk at some point with some individuals about manipulating how certain memos get produced. But this is not the time or the place to do that. I think this process has had some serious questions. I don't think that the health committee, the building committee, was entirely in control of the process. The committee I chair, I don't think that they were entirely in control of the process. You know my reservations about the site and how it was introduced. I'm not going to rehash that for the benefit of, in deference to Mike Sigler's comments. And I think perhaps we ought to at least respect each other and respect each other's decisions and go on with life. As I count noses, there probably will be fewer than a majority supporting this. I only hope that those of you that that do support it will be around long enough to justify the cost and the long-range cost. I've teased Nathan about it for quite some time that I'm going to stick around for 60 years just to make sure that Cornell doesn't get the building back, and I challenge Nathan to be available at the same time so that we can guide this process 60 years from now. Is that a deal?
I'll do my best, Frank.
That's a good deal, man.
Kathy Lucerer.
Thank you.
On the other hand, I'm going to want to give the building back to Cornell before the 60 years are up. I apologize if my passion disturbs some people and my less than always sunny disposition bothers people, because I am willing to front what I see as a bad process. In fact, the revisionism that's occurred, and I will use that word, has changed from the process is fine, there's nothing wrong with the process, to yes, the process is flawed, which I appreciate, and that's part of the reason that I say this, not to soften somebody's position, but because I want to go on record. And that's part of the reason that I did ask at the last meeting for an apples-to-apples comparison, and the reason I want that is because I want there to be history, that if we took that building as it's been twisted and contorted and put it over on the big site, and yes, I'm a proponent of the big site, I'm not ashamed of that, and for a number of reasons, which I'll go into in just a minute, but I think what we'll find out is that the difference in cost is not that much. I understand staff has been through a lot, and in fact, I don't mean to disparage staff. Basically, they'll do what we ask them to do, and I would have liked if they had done that. And little saying the addition option is 250, 275. I had some of the same similar comments that Frank did about that. I just want to mention, Carol talked glowingly about that building. She didn't mention that they called it the Rabbit Warren. And the name itself tells you that it's kind of dark. And inside, I think that was one of the things that was mentioned, that there's going to be issues about dealing with the partitions and how when you cram that many people in there. But there won't be that many people crammed in there, which is good. But other people did mention how Cornell does things. And I want you all to remember that this building was built. Well, anyway, I won't go into that. I'll cut that off. I think it's a white elephant myself. I think that our costs are going to be closer to 5.6 to 5.9. We'll never know what the comparisons were. I know I'm going to lose the vote tonight, but I'm going to go down in history as saying that this is a bad choice, and through the years we're going to notice now if in construction they managed to cut everything out to stay within the cost the same way they've kicked apartments out to make sure that the people are in the same, that's another thing. If it seems like I'm disparaging the process, it's because the process has been flawed. I think that employees are taxpayers too, and cutting them out from giving input would be a bad mistake. On the other hand, I don't think that employees are the only one that needs to make the decision or give input. I think it's up to us legislators to take responsibility and not say, well, as long as we're into it, even though the process was flawed, let's just go ahead on with it, which is what I've heard of late. And for those that dislike conflict or dislike being told that perhaps you're making a mistake, that's what you signed up for. And at some point, it becomes necessary to be able to be confronted about that. I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable, but that's what you signed up for, and that's what the job is. For myself, I think that time will show that we could, if we tracked the money, I think time would show that it would be a better investment for the taxpayer if we own the land, which we're not going to own. Cornell is going to be our landlord, this very powerful institution that already, I think, and I work for them, you understand? They already dictate way too much to us as county members, as people that live in the county, as county taxpayers, and now as county legislators. They're going to be our landlord. The stuff in the lease, some of which some of us have not seen, and some of which some of us are going to accept on faith because we've talked to people at Cornell who told us they would go to bat for us. And I have to say that the things that we're signing up for that we're not sure of yet are just, to me, appalling. I think this is there's a way that the savings of the money, the proposed savings of the money, if it's not as much as we said, how much would be okay? How much would be okay to justify this? Just that's the question I want to ask, as long as, and I'm not going to ask an individual, but I'm going to say, you know, in your own mind, what would do it? 1.2, 2.5 to justify owning the land and not having to wait 60 years to renew the lease and owning the building and being able to not have to squash everything up. Or even if we took the squashed up, modified, changed up, kicked departments out design and put it on the big site, it would still be an improvement and it would, I think, be comparable in cost. But we'll never know. So if it sounds like I'm angry, I'm just more frustrated that people don't want to talk about this stuff. It's our job. I'm frustrated that people think that it's somehow attacking. To go ahead and bring this stuff up instead of keep it hidden and have confidential discussions. I heard while I was out of the building that's, you know, about phone calls. And the fact is, I do things a little differently. You know, when I can, I'll make a phone call, but I don't like to report back to the group, well, I had a private meeting with so-and-so, and they told me this and that. I don't think that's the way legislators should work. I think that what we should do if we have a question is ask somebody, they get us the information, they come back and tell everybody the same thing at the same time. I, too, think it's significant that the memo we got has shaded meanings in it and that we don't have the kind of support from department heads that you would expect if they were enthusiastic about it. Now, perhaps it's because the discussion was wearing them down, as it has all of us. Thanks for listening. I know we're not going to win the day, and that Brown Road will stand as a testimony to our desire to save money. And I sure hope I can measure just how much we save. And I hope that the taxpayers that end up having to pay the extra gas going up the hill remind us as often as they can.
I believe we're close to a vote on Resolution E as amended. Leslin is next.
Mr. Chair, when you hand out chair assignments, can you please give us things that start easier. Oh, Lord. Since it was brought up, I just want to make sure that the record, the internal record and the media record shows that my vote on this is not void of consideration of taxpayers and not void of consideration of saving the taxpayers' dollars. That's all.
Thank you. I did see two other people who wanted to speak, but I would like to see if we could go to a vote without their comments.
I would be really quick. So.
Well, if you'll be really quick, then we may have 14 others who would like to be really quick. But I can honor that. You were after Martha.
Well, I do, because I've said it twice.
Martha was before you. We're going to honor these.
Thank you.
Martha, then Mike.
I hope we don't try to read into anything that staff is here or not here. I don't think that would be fair. I don't think we can. We don't know why health department staff aren't here.
Okay, thank you. And Mike?
My thing is, and I guess I have to say it again, is my, I do not want to stifle debate. I do not ever say that your opinion does not matter. My question to you was, what would make this acceptable? That was it. And for some reason, you continue to mischaracterize what I said. And that makes me a little angry. No, Mike, because I said a simple thing. And every time it's been brought up by somebody against this proposal, it's, oh, you said you wanted to stifle debate. And frankly, no, that is exactly not what I wanted to do. Mine was a simple question of what would make this satisfactory. And all I got was, this was done behind closed doors, this was not done in the correct process. Hey, you know what, I agree, the process was terrible. And maybe if at the beginning we had hired a realtor to do it, maybe we would have found the site earlier. But the fact of the matter is, from every single person that's come in this room, you're talking about a savings of between $4 and $4.5 million, and you are coming out and saying, well, no, that's probably not true. Well, I don't know what you're basing that on at all. You're saying that, oh, no, it's not going to be a savings. Well, okay, that's great. I understand what you're saying, and I respect your opinion. I don't know where you're getting it from, though. All right. And as for the other mischaracterization that I just heard, and now, of course, I have to respond to, is they are not going to be our landlord. We are not going to pay them rent for the land. We are leasing the land, but for the first 60 years, I'm sorry, if you think that this building, we're going to probably be in it in 60 years from now, I don't see that happening.
I'm seeing us as getting to the end of the productive discussions. Are there any are there others who'd like to speak before we vote?
Only to call a question.
I'm about to call the vote without needing to call the question. I'd like to ask for a roll call vote on Resolution E as amended.
Ms. Chuck?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Mr. Hattery?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
Heck no.
Mr. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Keeper?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
No.
Mr. Proto?
No.
Mr. Randall?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Mr. Stevenson?
No.
Mr. Klinkelaer?
Yes.
11 ayes, 4 noes.
We've been going for about 2.25 hours. I think we probably have about another hour left, so I'm going to declare a 5-minute recess. Okay, we're back in session. Legislators can take their seats if they need to.
I don't care.
We're back on the main agenda. I'll give a quick, very crisp chair's report. I did attend a January 9th department head meeting, and I will try to send you some notes from that. In advance of that meeting, I sent the department heads a draft concept or idea of a direction to be heading in. They also sent to you and got some feedback, and I will share their feedback on that from that meeting with you electronically as well, and I guess Frank might want a paper copy. Today is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s anniversary of his birthday, 79th anniversary. There's many events around town. The Race Liberation Alliance has put together a flyer with many organizations that work for local racial justice, and I'll pass that out now in case you want to share that with constituents. And finally, I did put a memo out, but I want to remind committee chairs that I hope to meet with you all about 4:30 before our next legislative meeting. We'll particularly be focusing on structuring committee agendas and moving things through committees once you've got them on agendas. I believe the yellow paper in your folder that talked about staff support for committees had one small error on it, and we'll correct that. So that's the end of my report. In terms of chair's appointments, I'm going to be appointing to the Tompkins County Area Development Board of Directors Martha Robertson, to the Chamber of Commerce Michael Kablinkelaer and Frank Proto as alternate, Extension Service Tyke Randall, and this next one you can pay attention to, it's the Local Advisory Board on Assessment Review. Because of our assessment process tonight, we'll be having long meetings probably. In Caroline and Danby, Frank Proto for Newfield and Enfield, Greg Stevenson for Groton, Tyke Randall for Dryden, Mike Hattery and Martha Robertson for Town of Ithaca, Dooley Kiefer, Michael Kablinkelaer for Lansing, Mike Sigler, Dooley Kiefer for Ulysses, Jim Dennis, and City of Ithaca, Nathan Shinagawa and Kathy Luz Herrera. Poet Laureate is Paul Hamill for one more year. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McKean Clairboard as chair, and Ethics Advisory Board, Dooley Kiefer as chair. These are the chair's appointments that come up now. There are other chair's appointments that are not necessarily up now. They come up halfway through the year, and we'll be in conversation about some of those as they approach. Question.
Does that explain the nominations that were on the earlier list that we got?
That got taken off? Yes. Some of them, like the MPO, is an ongoing one. Any other questions? Move on to reports by county administrator. Steve Witcher.
I have two things. I've put them both in your folder. One has to do with the Ithaca Journal article that was in the paper this morning on the front page. And while the story was relatively accurate, there was one inaccuracy that needs correction. And it wasn't that we had not received retroactive bills from the state. It's just that they were not accurate. And that it was the differential that we were talking about, that the state was going back and saying, oh, well, we didn't send you the correct bill, and we want to update it and increase the amount. I was just pointing out that I thought that that was a rather strange way to do business, and that to attribute it to a staff error was even more bizarre. But the concept of going back to 2001, I thought it really gave Tompkins County license to go to back to 1925, when I distinctly remember that there was a $4 million error in their favor. So we'll be pursuing that. Jonathan's preparing a suit. It's on the escalation. We'll take care of your budget for the next 5 years. Okay. I also included an assignment sheet for admin staff, and what we're trying to do here is to pave the road for a smooth transition for the next county administrator. One of the things that, when we were looking backward, and I was looking backward and saying what worked and what didn't work when I came in, the one thing that I realized is I didn't have enough time or opportunity to really build relationships with the staff, with the department heads. And if somebody is coming in from the outside, I have no idea who the final candidates are, so I'm not speaking with any kind of knowledge here. But if somebody's coming from the outside, they really need a lot of opportunity to get to know the organization. So what administration has done is to build a full support for nearly everything that the county administrator is responsible for, at least directly, so that the county administrator will then have the opportunity to make smooth transition, get to know everybody really well, get very familiar with the operations. So that's the intent of this. I think it's going to work pretty well, and the county administration staff is dedicated to making sure that there is a smooth transition.
Any questions for Steve? County attorney?
I have no report.
And finance director, David Squires.
I want to report that I put in your boxes tonight a sheet, a duplex sheet, that shows, unfortunately, properties that are still outstanding with taxes that are subject to foreclosure. The final day to pay was last Friday. The good news is that we were most of the properties. We had 114 original properties that were subject to tax enforcement, and only 18 are remaining. We recovered $440,000 in taxes in the last 2 weeks. We recovered about 80% of the outstanding taxes that were due. And there's still 11 residential properties out there, and I know that at least half a dozen are occupied because of phone calls from the occupants and their various circumstances. But all in all, it's a good sign that most people responded. The other good news is we did have a financing last week. On Friday, we received $13 million. We got 9 bids on our bond anticipation notes. Roosevelt and Cross was the low bidder at a rate of 2.84% for a one-year note. We also got 5 bids on the financing for the STOA state aid, and that was won by First Albany Securities at 2.89%. I will say that timing was really great because this first week of the year, and interest rates did drop dramatically. There wasn't a rate under 3% for the last 6 months. And in the first week of the year, we beat 3%. So I'm very happy with that. And the final good news piece is that the sales tax for the fourth quarter exceeded expectations. And we should end the year about $500,000 above the budgeted estimate for sales tax in 2007.
Don't let us stay here that day. They'll be after us for those DSS.
They'll be more retro.
There's no questions for David. Martha?
David, if we didn't get the foreclosure list, does it mean there are none in our town?
It's in our box.
After you started the meeting?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Seeing no staff that need to report to the legislature, let's move on to, are there any resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda? Greg?
I would like to withdraw Resolution C and Resolution G.
Okay. Anything else? Pam?
Yes, I would like to withdraw member filed Resolutions I and J.
Okay. I wonder why.
Unless you want to go through it all again.
I do.
Those are now off the agenda. Anything else? We'll now move to the consent agenda. These are resolutions not expected to be controversial that can pass in a single vote. This is revised Resolution A, authorization for 2008 to participate in various New York State county contracts. And Resolution B. Okay. And the appointments to the Environmental Management Council, Steve Nicholson, and to the Fire Disaster and EMS Advisory Board, Lyle Nay. Is there a motion for the consent? Pam, seconded by Leslin. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. We'll proceed to standing committee reports. Reports, Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslin being Claiborne.
WDIC has not met. We will meet on January 23rd. That's next Wednesday.
Okay, thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee will not meet in January. Our first meeting will be the first Wednesday of February. However, just as an issue, we're continuing to deal with the situation precipitated by the visiting nurse service and the need to fill that gap, unfortunately. And I'll keep you posted on that. And Nathan ducked out of the room, and here he is. If any of the committee members have items that they wish to have considered in our work plan for 2008, please get them to Karen as quickly as possible, and we'll have to compare that to the work plan that was provided for 2007 to see what we've completed as a committee. Thank you.
Any questions for Frank? Move on to Human Resources Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move Resolution F, establishing salaries of management employees 2008 and with the changes that were made.
Seconded by Pam McAsee. Is there discussion?
There's in the resolve, the first resolve and only resolve, we crossed out the word relevant in the third line, the first relevant, and put the word current in, and moving on further down the line, we cross out the word equal and put in conformance with and the relevant salary schedule.
And I guess personnel committee should be the human resources committee, also in that resolved?
Sure.
Yep. Those are
there's a motion and a second?
Yes. Comments?
Okay. Last time I had this here, it didn't do very well, and a question was asked by Frank, and I remembered to find out the answer. How much was it? Was this going to cost us for 1 year? And it was in the neighborhood of $180,000. And this refers to between 60 and 70 managers that we have currently on staff.
Other questions or discussion? Duly Keeper.
When this resolution comes up, people always wonder what the second whereas means when it says bring salaries into alignment, because it doesn't say into alignment with what. And I've been puzzling about what you could do to make it clearer to people. And I don't know if this is correct, but let me make a suggestion. Bring management salaries into alignment with the county's pay grade scale. Is that what it's about?
Yeah.
So, well, could we put those words?
Absolutely. I find that friendly.
That's friendly to the seconder as well. Any further discussion? Are we ready to vote? All in favor?
I was looking for the revised version. Yep. Could you just repeat the changes that you made?
Yes, in the third line. Well, duly is added in the first and the second whereas, the language that she had mentioned, and in the first resolve, where the first relevant is, the word current goes in, and then moving down that line, we cross out equal and put in conformance with the relevant salary schedule.
Thank you very much.
This will be a roll call vote. Short form, sorry.
Ms. Chow?
Yes.
Mr. Stevenson?
Yes.
Any wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
Thank you.
Management staff, thank you.
One more comment. We have changed the day of the meeting to the first Thursday of the month, and that will mean that the next meeting is on February 7th. Yes, February 7th. We are at impasse with the blue collars. We are at impasse with the road, and we have mediation dates for both of those. The road, I'm not sure if we'll ever have one, but Steve?
We're still at impasse with the white collar.
And we're at impasse with the white collars. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. Any other questions for Jim? So does this mean that if before a resolution that might be controversial, I take a five-minute break, things will move very quickly?
No. I have one that's controversial first.
First thing goes first. Okay. We're moving on to Government Operations Committee. Greg Stevenson, Chair.
We met last Friday. We discussed our 2007 goals and admired our progress. We also discussed a couple resolutions that I thought I would just talk about instead of vote on. We talked about the Lansing Community Library and funding for that organization. We also talked about the Tompkins County Council of Governments and our representative appointment to that body. We didn't actually come to any conclusions or do anything decisive, but we talked about it. And we also talked about our liaison assignments for 2008. That pretty much was the extent of our business, and I guess I will move Resolution B, Adoption of Cash Management and Investment Policy, Revised Version.
Is there a second? Duly Keeper. Is there discussion? Frank Proto.
Yes, in the way of disclosure, because the trust company is mentioned in the resolution in several places as a depository and other items, you can disclose that my wife is an employee of the trust company. And because HSBC Bank is also mentioned in several capacities, I need to disclose that I am an employee of HSBC Bank.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor of resolution B revised?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Martha, did we rush past PDEQ too quickly, or have you done any report?
No, we haven't met this morning,
okay.
So.
Okay. Budget and Capital Committee, Nathan Shinigawa, Chair.
The Budget and Capital Committee met on Monday, and I guess David gets to report the good news, so because I was going to very enthusiastically talk about that $500,000, but now if I do, it doesn't sound as cool. So anyway, but that's okay, that's fine. We talked about a few other things, in particular those retroactive payments in which you saw in the Ithaca Journal this morning. And that was, I mean, it was a very interesting discussion because we're afraid that basically the state could make up really any excuse and charge us retroactively, even if they already billed us, but just say, oh, we didn't bill you enough. And that's a major problem that we're very much aware of, and I know that the New York State Association of Counties is aware of, and we totally intend to work with them in creating kind of a united front of counties to the state, saying that this is an unacceptable practice. Other than that, we had a brief discussion about the Lansing Library, but we'll actually bring that up more and have a further discussion at our next, budget and capital meeting about a month from now. We reviewed 2007 committee goals, thank you to the budget chair previously, Michael Finkel there. All those goals, for the most part, were met in those capacities, and I know you reported on that. We did talk about 2008 goals. And, emphasized, of course, that we're going to, make sure that we start the budget process early, just as we did last year. It was a very good process overall. We talked about budget surveys and how we still actually, I think we only have about half the legislators have responded in terms of budget surveys. But overall, they seem like very good responses so far over how last year's budget went. And we are going to do a few things so far. We haven't finalized our 2008 goals, but we did talk about them. For example, Mike Hattery had brought up talking about a kind of policy for bringing up budget requests outside of the budget process and kind of looking at some sort of policy specifically pertaining to that. Because we had a few instances of that last year. And so that's something that so far it looks like the committee is interested in doing. We're also going to be reviewing our fiscal policy. A lot of work was done last year on looking at the rollover policy. This year we're going to look at our reserve fund balances, which is always a big question. We're going to look at that in a little bit more depth at the committee level. Other than that, I think that we're going to keep a lot of the same goals from last year because the goals tend to be the same. For example, goal number one is develop a 2008 budget that supports community needs while improving the fiscal health of the county. And I think that's definitely a goal of the Budget and Capital Committee. So with that, we are... I don't think we have. Yes, so at our next meeting, we're going to be finalizing our 2008 committee goals. So if anybody has any suggestions for the Budget and Capital Committee, please let me know. And that's all.
Thank you. Any questions for Nathan? Thank you for reminding me that regarding NYSAC, New York State Association of Counties, we'll have six representatives from this legislature going, myself, Martha, Tim, Leslin, Carol, and Mike Hattery. If you have topics you want to be brought up there or particular sessions you saw in the program that you want people to visit, let us know so we can divide and conquer. On to Public Safety Committee, Tim Joseph, Chair.
No report.
Any questions? All right, who would like to move minutes of previous meetings, both December 18th and January 2nd? Frank Toto moves them. Martha Robertson seconds. Ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And a motion to adjourn?
Yay.
Jim? Greg seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous.